Who Back When?
Shazam, and welcome to another episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast. I am Ponkin, and this is a momentous occasion. Not only are we discussing the 2014 Christmas special, Last Christmas, the first Capaldi Christmas special episode, but we are in the presence of a living legend. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man, the myth, the legend... Flapjack.
Oh my god, it's the return of the flap.
The return of the flap.
Once again. What's it been, like 13 months?
It has been aeons.
So much has happened.
How long is that in dream time, though?
I would say approximately that's like 2,050 years. It's been a damn long time, dude.
What? I was going to say, like, yeah, it's been 13 months to you and me, but in fact our real bodies are somewhere on distant planets with, like...
That depends at what level...
With crabs on our faces.
What level of inception are we at? Like, the last year has been, like, an eternal dream.
It really has. Oh my goodness.
Like, well, you know what? We have so much Who to catch up on.
Oh my god, are you shitting me? Obviously.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what you don't know is that we have, for the past 13 months, or however long it's been, we have recorded about 78 episodes, Jack and I. But we just never aired them, just to fuck with you guys.
Yeah, they're coming. Like, over the next 10 years, they will be released periodically. Every time I can be bothered to make the drive to yours.
The episode you're listening to right now, we actually recorded over a year ago.
Yet somehow we time travelled and watched the 2014 Capaldi Christmas special.
Yeah, I think that makes mathematical sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, anyway, nice to have you on board again.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's good to be back.
So today we are discussing Last Christmas. We're not going to go through this plot point by plot point because I think it's fair to say, I think it's reasonable to assume that everyone who is tuning into this podcast has already seen it.
And I have made zero notes.
I've made three notes during the course of the past, I'm going to say 2.5 hours during which we watched this episode.
Yeah, again, because it was so freaking awesome.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen this episode, then please do watch it. We're going to spoil the shit out of it. What do we need to discuss in this episode? We need to go through high points, low points.
Do you know what?
The dream list, the wish list.
I feel like I haven't given any context at all to my Who watching for like 13 months.
Okay.
So I would just like to say, just
go for it.
For the record.
Dude, cleanse your palate.
I love the fucking shit out of Capaldi.
Oh my god, me too. Oh, that's such a good place to start.
Okay,
yes.
But I don't think I'm quite explaining it to the level it needs to be explained. Like, I want to suck this guy's dick. He is the best doctor imaginable.
I can vouch for this. I walked in on Jack once.
I was actually jacking off.
He was pounding one off to deep breath.
Like, I just think it's the closest thing.
I just don't understand why you were like strangling yourself at the same time.
Yeah, I know. It just gives you that little extra high,
that little boost.
Yeah, no, it's just like a level you can't find without the asphyxiation. But never mind that. Like, so he's the closest thing to Hartnell that you could have.
Early Hartnell, before he or like the BBC sold out and made him this cheerful granddad.
Yeah, like, we have our soul doctor back.
Yeah.
Like, and actually, we have a moment in this episode where he actually does try and leave everyone in peril.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Is just, like, a nod to the past we have not had in eons. Like,
well, Capaldi has done it before, hasn't he?
What? Try to leave everyone behind?
Yeah, well...
On, like, a deserted Iceland.
Well, no, not that, literally. but we have
their
had
faces off.
No, but we have...
What a guy.
Yum. But we have had Capaldi basically do the whole, not my problem kind of stick, right?
Yeah, that's true.
He's done that in almost every episode, in fact.
Oh, in fact, what's the episode where he allows Clara to decide whether to save the Earth? The moon episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. He leaves Clara to decide whether to save the Earth or not, or whether to save the moon or not.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not him saying, I don't give a shit. That's him saying, it's not my place to decide.
Okay.
That's him saying, you are a human, this is humanity's fate, it's up to you.
Does he normally say that? Like,
no. I think that's just because he respects
Clara. New Doctor usually intervenes.
Like, yes.
He is the world policeman.
Yeah.
Capaldi is not a world policeman. Capaldi is like, I mean, I don't even think he has an agenda, which is what the Doctor should be. He shouldn't have an agenda. He's just a weary traveller.
I think weary is the wrong adjective in this case.
Well, he's an angry traveller.
He is, yes, okay, so, fine. He's an angry traveller.
I think Capaldi was set off really well in the first episode with one line, which was, don't look in that mirror, it's furious.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's...
Because he's just massively angry.
That says absolutely
That's his
everything.
Temperament.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
That is essentially it.
I just wanted to lead off with that.
But it's
just
not just
to give some context.
Yes, but it's not just. Yeah, and we'll round off this little Capaldi wankathon in a moment, and then jump into the special. But it's not just, in my mind, the Hartnell reference is not just him going, "Screw you guys, this is not my problem. You deal with it." It's also him disregarding people, like when he goes, "I don't remember your name. Like I just deleted you. Don't you want to know my name? Like, no, I don't need your name.
Yeah,
like, we can function on a completely different level."
Which is very different from like Tennant's "Nobody gets left behind."
Or, yeah,
like,
exactly.
That was the same with Matt Smith as well. It's like nobody gets left behind. We don't forget anyone.
Yeah,
he forgot somebody in the space of 10 seconds.
Yeah.
In fact, I doubt he ever knew her name. Even when
he does refer to her as Shauna or something.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, but it happens twice in this episode. The first time he's just like, "Fuck off, I don't care about you. I've deleted you."
Yeah.
And then the second time she tries to tell him.
Yeah, and he says, "I don't need
your
name."
And he's just like, "Don't give it to me. It's useless information."
Yeah.
It's ideal. Like, I love this guy.
I love this guy as
anyway,
well.
Get into the episode.
Okay.
Let's go thematically.
All right. Oh, yeah, fine.
We have no notes.
Oh, dude, Meister. Okay, sure. What's the first theme you want to start with?
You lead, dude. It's your podcast.
Fine. God, wow.
It was my podcast once.
Yeah, but some people are just not good enough for the flap. Okay, anyway.
Should we start with the elephant in the room, which is the two movie references?
Yeah, okay. So,
I think almost everyone will have noticed this. This is not like a...
No. There's Alien and there's The Thing. But and I think it also... We need to go through the list. Because
we were doing Alien and The Thing. Well, The Thing is also there. We should go through the list, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Alien and Inception.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. It's three movies.
It's three movies all in one.
Holy shit, guys. This is insane.
We will get to the list. You have no idea what the list is yet. Well, maybe you do.
Yeah, yeah, they probably do.
Yeah.
Dude, don't underestimate the audience.
Alien and Inception.
And The Thing.
Okay, and The Thing.
Yeah.
The Alien thing, I think we can write off. They completely... Well, no, okay, let's...
Should we start with the list? I was just about to say, let's start with the list. Wait for it. Check this out.
Screenshot.
I'm way ahead of you, buddy. We have the list. This is her name Shauna? I want to say Shauna.
So, girl who Doctor disregards.
Yeah, the chick who clearly sucks dong for crack.
Yeah, scuzzy crack whore girl.
Who lives in the most untidy flat.
In the most unclean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's like a filament of just, of sweat, filth, like, cum.
To the point when that thing disintegrates on the floor, she doesn't think to clean it up.
No.
She just goes gross. Yeah. And leaves
she probably
there.
Assumes that it's one of the myriad cockroaches in her shitty little abode.
But the theory is,
and this
is your theory, which we can discuss, that she is like running the whole dream show.
I think. Well, I don't know if she's running it, but I think to a degree she is
the strongest brain amongst the group.
Not the strongest brain. I think maybe it's that you know
she's
how,
like less asleep.
No. Dude. Okay, check this out. Okay, hold on to your cerebral cortex because it's gonna. Blow up in a second.
I'm currently holding my dog.
That's where your brain is. Okay, wrong head. Doesn't matter. Okay.
Off you go.
I was going to say, think with your big head, but I've seen your knob. Okay.
Have you really?
No, I haven't. I'm kidding.
Impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. Off you go. Veiny and blue. Okay. All right. You know how the Doctor goes into Clara's dream?
Yes.
And it is Clara setting the rules, more or less, right? It's still being influenced by Shauna, and we will get into that.
Setting the rules is a strange way to say it.
As in, like...
She's not setting the rules...
Not
like,
all of them.
...in an Inception kind of way. She's not, like, controlling the world.
She is to a degree. Okay, we will... Okay, you know, something we need to talk about in this thing is Clara's dream. That's the next bullet point. Let's go through that next.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can go through this in layers, in Inception layers.
We still haven't discussed the list.
Okay, wait for it. Okay, so this is to put Shauna, if that's her name, this is in order to put Crack Shauna into
crack
context.
Too harsh. Let's call her Cracky.
Cracky. This is in order to put Cracky into context, okay? So you know how the Doctor goes into Clara's dream,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that Mr. Pink is there, clearly that is Clara's doing, right? The Doctor even says, "You've made him taller than he really is," for example. So that's Clara's doing. And Clara clearly goes, "I can tell that the Doctor is warning me with the blackboard and whatever, but boom, I'm going to remove them,
and
I'm in control." So I'm thinking everyone has gone into Cracky's dream.
That's interesting. So those two are at the same level of Inception at that point. So they're both in Clara's dream, but they're at the same level of Inception.
Yeah, because maybe he's put on a thing as well and gone in there.
The reason that Clara is like creating the world is that she was the first person at the layer at that layer of inception.
I think that so it's her dream, and he uses a crab in order to get into her dream.
But maybe it's the case that Cracky was the first one to have the sucker on her face.
That's very
possible. Which is why she created the world, which is why it's so dumb. But everybody else is feeding into that world.
Dude, that's very possible. Either way, I would say that they have gone into her dream.
Okay.
That's her dream.
This all sounds like nonsense until we tell people about the list.
Here's the list.
Just fucking do it.
At the end of the episode, Cracky has her... When she wakes up in the crack den, she has her Christmas Day itinerary, okay? It consists of 6 points. They are, number one, DVD, Alien.
Yeah.
This is clearly referenced in the episode. In fact, it's mentioned.
So, in fact, she created the face suckers.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, so, the way they open, they look like the alien pods that open and the face suckers come out of them.
I think it's just a given the whole thing is an alien reference. They even say it themselves.
Yeah, it looks like a face hugger, blah, blah, blah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right, number two, DVD, The Thing from Another World, which is the original. You mentioned you've seen this.
I did, when I was like 6. My dad made me watch it because he thought it would scare the shit out of me.
Did it?
Yeah, fucking hell. It was awful. He also made me watch Swamp Thing.
Oh, nice!
Have you ever seen Swamp Thing?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to watch the... This is a tangent, but I used to watch the Swamp Thing cartoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's infinitely more child-friendly.
Swamp Thing scared me more than anything in the world. Oh, I was terrified. As a child, I was terrified of Swamp
I remember
Thing.
Playing Swamp Thing in the schoolyard once.
I used to think it was going to come get me at night. I had a slight fear of the dark as a result.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was deep.
All right, then.
And my dad made me watch it just because he thought it'd be funny to shit me up. And I was 6. But anyway.
Explains a lot.
So The Thing from Another World.
Yeah, it's the 1951 original that John Carpenter then remade as The Thing, and which was remade, I want to say, 2 years ago as... What's it called again? What's the remake?
Don't know.
Prequel, rather.
I think I know.
It's like... maybe it's... Actually, it's called The Thing as well, I think.
Right.
Anyway,
I haven't seen it.
The story... Everyone except for you has seen the John Carpenter version and not the 1951. Yeah. John Carpenter's version being the one where Kurt Russell runs around in the Arctic. There's a station, like a scientific base, whatever, and they found an alien life form in the ice. They wake it up and it then slowly but surely infiltrates and takes over the group, which is very clearly what's happening here as well. They even say they found these little facehugger pods asleep in the ice.
Yeah. So again, number two, she has created the whole narrative for the story.
Yeah. Number three is an interesting one.
Yeah, dad comes around.
Yes, which, okay, go for it.
It's a second level of Inception thing, but in Clara's dream, when she's kissing Danny.
Yeah, and when, not banging.
Yeah.
When she is not, let's phrase that differently.
They're sitting there in silence, not banging.
In PJs, not a single one is fiddling with the other's junk.
Even though she knows it's a dream, she's only going to get a limited amount of time with him.
Yeah, she knows that she's dying.
She is,
they started off in daylight. She woke up in the
banging.
Morning. Dude, they woke up in the morning, and when the doorbell rings,
all day. Yeah, it's true.
It's nighttime.
Yeah,
they have spent all day not fiddling with each other.
But anyway, they've been sitting together for, let's say, at least 8 hours, and only at that point do they try and have a kiss, little kiss. At which point the door goes, and she thinks it's her dad.
Bingo! So this is now Shauna's list.
Dad is coming around, and that has filtered into Clara's second level, or actually, as it turns out, third level Inception,
which kind of makes sense because the rules of the dream in which you are having another dream must still apply.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that makes sense. Follow down effect.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Number four, DVD, Miracle on 34th Street.
Santa Claus. Yeah.
That's pretty given.
Like, this is actually a really good theory.
Yeah.
Like, well picked out.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Number five and number six don't really make sense. Number five, Thrones Marathon.
Maybe somebody out there can try and explain it to us and can put it on this review. Game of Thrones, I can't really see the crossover with Game of Thrones.
Nor I. Could Thrones mean something else? It can't. It must be Game of Thrones, right?
Well, it's got to be. Thrones Marathon. Like, what else is there to marathon on that is Thrones related other than Game of Thrones?
I don't know. Maybe there is something.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I think five and six are non-sectors.
Number six, Forgive Dave, which is the thing that she then ticks off. Like, oh yeah, I've now forgiven him.
Although, why does she tick it off? Because she hasn't actually done it. She's just woken up.
No, okay. Yeah, but maybe it's like, oh, I'm going to sleep on it. And then she wakes up. For all she knows, she's slept on it.
Okay. But she should really be ticking that after she's phoned Dave. Like, she shouldn't be doing it when she wakes up before she forgives
Why do you think Dave needed forgiving?
I imagine he wouldn't give her her crack. possibly. Like, maybe Dave's her pimp.
Maybe Dave is actually a really good guy. He's trying to, like, he's train-spotting her into her shitty little flat. Like, there is no more crack for you, no more heroin. Mm-hmm. You're just gonna have to deal with it, sober up.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. So she really should be forgiving Dave.
Yeah.
Although maybe...
Dave's
yeah.
a good guy, let's
yeah,
face
Dave,
it.
Yeah, Dave is a good guy. Yeah, but really, she should invite Dave around before ticking that off. That's all I'm saying. Like...
Okay.
Because if she's just... This is a ridiculous point. But if yeah. she's just thinking of forgiving Dave and she's ticking it off, she could just as well say, okay, DVD Alien, I'm thinking of watching it, I'll tick it off. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
I think it's Christmas Day, she wakes up on her own in her dingy little crack den. She realizes she's all by herself. There's some sort of gross cockroach on the floor.
Which she is unsurprised by.
I'm completely unsurprised.
Because that's the sort of thing that grows in her kitchen.
Or possibly it's the kind of hallucination that she has when she hasn't had heroin for a while.
But either way.
Either way, she wakes up by herself, sitting in the sofa.
Yes.
That's what's happened,
okay.
right?
Forget Dave.
Yeah, so, well, forgive him, rather.
Yeah,
so she wakes up by herself and goes, well, God damn it, you know what I need? Company and dicks.
What I'm saying is, let us forget Dave.
Okay, fair enough.
Leave her to Dave.
Okay, do you think...
The salient point is, we think that she is running the dream.
Yeah. Do you think that if they had stayed in the dream, numbers 5 and 6, Thrones Marathon and Forgive Dave, would have factored in some way? Like, would Dave suddenly have turned up at the station?
Yeah, possibly. Like, if the dream had gone on longer, maybe it would have turned into a medieval nightmare.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
In fact, they could have run into the TARDIS. They were on the way into the TARDIS.
And then
he could have spirited them away into
instead
medieval times.
Instead of Santa saving them, Dave could have come in.
Dave turns up in medieval times.
Makes perfect sense.
Glorious.
Yeah.
All right.
That's true. It's why they're the last two on the list.
Dude, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Okay, so...
In fact, do we even need to go on?
Like, done. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. I need more gin.
Okay, so she's running the dream.
Okay,
What was the theme?
Okay, so we have now covered two of the three films.
Yeah.
Inception is the very obvious one. When Clara wakes up, and her flat is just too nice. She has that weird roof terrace thingy.
Oh, yeah.
Right
yeah.
outside her bedroom window or whatever.
Yeah. Nobody in London has that.
No one.
Like, certainly not a teacher.
Yeah,
no,
a teacher.
No, could she afford to live there?
Who lives by herself.
Like, and you can see the eye from it as well.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder that was a dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the dream wasn't Santa. It was more unrealistic to think that on a teacher's salary, she could have that apartment overlooking
okay.
London.
So this is something, actually, I think we need to get into, or we need to get back. Let's revisit this other action point towards the end of this recording. But that is, like, are they still dreaming at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Let's end on that one.
In a tangerine dream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when she wakes up as young Clara at the end,
yeah.
that's a pretty nice flat as well.
Yeah.
That's, like, a massively super nice place.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say that's the same place that she has her regular dream in, as in her Mr. Pink dream. I think that's the same place.
You think she's got a whole house?
Yeah, that's my point. It's another completely unrealistic flat. You know what it is?
It's not a flat. Stop calling it a flat. It's a massive house.
It's a massive house.
It's like a country house.
Dude, they are upstairs. You can see the TARDIS downstairs.
What does she need to dream for? Everything's come true.
Yeah, exactly.
She's basically a millionaire. A £4 million house.
Dude, it's a Christmas
in that
miracle.
Location.
It's a Christmas miracle. This is basically the Notting Hill syndrome. You know Notting Hill, the Hugh Grant thingy?
I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like he runs a secondhand bookshop or whatever. Yeah. He has a massive house.
A mansion
in Notting Hill. A terrace house in Notting Hill that he shares with a bum who has no income. i.e. he owns that place or possibly pays the full rent for it.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah, I mean, we worked in the book industry.
Yeah.
You could barely afford to eat.
It's still the holiday season. Right. Think of the holiday. Jude Law is an editor. You and I have both been editors in publishing.
Christ
Jude Law is a goddamn... Edison has a beautiful, beautiful country house.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, call it.
He is renting a living room. Like, that is his real existence.
Yeah, that he shares with another dude.
Yeah, and she shares a living room with another dude, and he's paying $1,000 a month for it, which means he has nothing left over at the end of the month. Like, he can barely eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Editors can barely...
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you work in publishing, get out now.
Yeah.
Follow our example. Yeah, same here. Okay, so...
Anyway,
the Inception thing, though. What I was going to say, sorry. So she wakes up in the beginning before she encounters Santa, she is already dreaming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she is already...
Sorry, before she encounters Santa.
Yeah, as in she...
At the point she encounters Santa.
Not just that, like at the point where she wakes up. She wakes up, she goes out on the roof terrace thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is Santa and his two elves.
Yeah, already dreaming.
She's already dreaming. Not just that, she's already dreaming Shona's dream. That's Cracky to you and me.
Yes.
She's already dreaming Cracky's dream.
I'm pretty sure her name's not Shona.
I'm sure it was Shona. Maybe it's not. Fuck it, Cracky. Cracky. So Cracky is already influencing her dream. That's the miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
Because Santa is already on the roof terrace of this massive house.
Yeah.
Wait, how does that work?
When...
She hasn't met Cracky yet.
So, at the point that they were explaining why it was Santa...
Yeah.
My initial thought as to why it was going to be Santa is because who else would be involved in everybody's collective consciousness?
Not the doctors. That's the thing. Not the doctors.
Yeah, but the doctor knows who Santa is.
Yeah, but
Santa is one of the few people in the world who everybody has heard of, which is why he's like the binding factor. Like, they could...
And it's Christmas Day and whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
who else could you think of, like, that everyone would know? I mean,
it is Christmas. They could have dreamt of, like, Jesus.
You've only got...
One of them maybe celebrates Kwanzaa.
In the world, who has everyone heard of?
Elvis.
Other than Jesus, Elvis, Muhammad, Hitler. And Father Christmas.
Can you imagine how different this would have been
if Hitler turns up? That is a brilliant dinner party, by the way. Can you imagine that dinner party?
Pass me some gravy. Okay, so you could argue that... Okay, all right, hang on, wait. I need to back up and ask a question.
Sure.
What are the freaking odds that on two completely different planets, possibly different times, because they have said this as well, like the doctor says, that we may very well be in different times.
Although they did look more or less the same time. They looked all present day.
Sure, but you don't know where the doctor is, or rather when the doctor is.
That's true.
What are the odds that the doctor, outside his TARDIS, God knows where he is, he's on some...
Do you know where he looks like he is? Do you remember
when he goes into himself?
Through the keys. Into the fire.
Shit, yes, you're right.
It looks exactly there.
Oh, it does, you're right.
I actually thought he'd gone back there. I thought it was going to be like this massive loop. That didn't really happen, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, Clara was drugged.
Yeah.
Like, was she drugged? What had happened to her? Why was she...
He
put her in some sort of lucid state where he wanted to see what she would do because she was so upset because Danny was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It looked like he was there, anyway.
It did, yeah. Nice ref. I thought of when Matt Smith went into himself and we saw the War Doctor for the first time.
Yeah.
But either way, maybe we will revisit that planet next time or going forward because he went someplace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the odds? He goes to a place where there are these, like, pube crabs climbing on people's faces. He gets attacked by someone or one of them. And Clara, different planet, gets attacked by one of these. What are the freaking odds?
We're never told where these things are from. I mean, they could be, like, from everywhere.
So maybe that's something that's going to turn up. Maybe they're going to be, like the darkness. No, the silence.
They are a universe-wide thing. But it is implied that they are a universe-wide thing.
Yeah,
although,
that's true.
Although maybe it takes humans.
Okay, but all right. So fine. That's point number one. Point number two would be: what the fuck, man? There's an actual invasion of the Earth going on.
Yeah,
and we kind of disregard this.
But it's at such a small level. Like,
how do you know?
It's five people.
Yeah, but you don't know that.
I suppose there could be a million.
There could be a million, and just these six people have gone into the same dream.
Yeah,
but there could be millions.
Like little cells going millions. All around the world.
Yeah, exactly.
It is possible.
Right,
and the doctor is not investigating this because he doesn't give a shit.
yes,
that's right.
That's exactly what's happening. Okay, so there is that. But do you reckon that the pube crabs are going to return as some sort of silence equivalent?
No, I think they're a Christmas special.
Okay,
like I think that they are just a literary device, is what they are.
Okay, all right, sure. Question number two.
Yeah.
Or possibly four at this point. So the pube crabs, they look like face huggers, right?
Yes.
They look like face huggers. So they are a manifestation of Cracky's dream.
That's right.
But when the doctor wakes up, in fact, when all of them wake up,
yeah,
they still look like face huggers from Alien.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. But that leads us, that nicely segues us into
the, are next, they still alone?
The next point. Are they still
Are they still a dream? Yeah. Because basically the tangerine at the end, you said when we were watching this just now,
it
you
could
said
be that Santa Claus is real.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Robin Hood was real.
Yeah. Well, I reckon it's kind of like the spinner at the end of Inception.
Yeah, I was thinking of the spinner. So you can tell. So the spinny thing spins and you can look at the way it's spinning and work out whether it's real or not. The tangerine,
but you can't really because
the tangerine, you can squeeze it. So you can see how ripe it is, and if it's at the right level of ripeness, you know it's reality. Like, how squeezy is my tangerine?
Oh, I've had a nickel for every time I've asked someone that.
So, what do you think? Do you think they are still inside a dream? And that's why we're seeing Alien? Like,
Could
this be an overarching theme that will, like, lead us into the next series?
Well, that's one of the things that I am wondering. As in, that's why, one of the reasons why I'm asking, do you think that they are a recurring alien? As in, this phenomenon. I reckon they don't look like puke crabs. They look like something else.
I think we will never hear about this again and it will not be explained. It will be a little bit like, do you remember that one where the trees were taking over the earth, that episode where that girl just appears from the bush, and it's just not explained. Where the fuck is she in? Why is she under the bush? What the hell's going on here? I think they're just
she
gonna
has
leave
been travelling around the country sucking dongs for heroin.
I know. It's been,
for years.
It's been months. She hasn't been hiding under that bush. And fuck, why did nobody see her under the bush? Never mind. It's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is I think it's going to be one of those bullshit things that they just leave dangling there. Like, it's not going to recover.
Do you mean like the dongs that she's been jerking
off? Yes.
This girl, this poor girl, who's basically given herself this weird nomadic lifestyle, turned herself into a homeless person and is now like jacking off truckers in order to just have a warm bed for the night.
That episode, by the way, made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, still a good episode though.
I
thoroughly enjoyed it
watching it, but I mean it was absolute bullshit.
I think we're not going to go through season one because ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert, that's happening in 2015.
And
but
similarly, for reasons we'll get to, this episode is kind of bullshit. It's an incoherent sci-fi drama.
I don't think so.
I think it is
incoherent. I don't think it's massively incoherent.
There's
Why
are they still alien creatures?
Yeah.
If the alien creatures are a construct of the dream, are they still aliens in real life? It's still a dream.
I will take it up a notch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hold on to your dong. Check this out.
I always am.
I can confirm this. He is holding his dong right now. Okay, riddle me this, Batman. When Santa turns up with the, I can't even remember what they're called, the dream crabs, anyway.
Yeah.
The puke crabs.
What, the specimen of the puke crab.
Yeah. It's in this plastic cylindrical container with some writing on it, whatever, it says specimen.
Yeah.
It is the exact same container that the doctor then brings to Clara's room at the end when he sonics it off her face and pops it in there. It's the exact same container.
Okay. So what are you drawing from this?
Well, I can only think of two possibilities. Number one being that the container in the first place, as it was introduced by Santa, was actually introduced by the doctor in the dream.
Yeah, because it's his specimen jar.
Yeah, that's one possibility. Possibility number two is they're actually still dreaming, and that's almost like a clue back to the dream.
Possibility number three.
Hit me.
Nobody actually thought that through.
Yeah, it's very possible.
It's just like,
but
here's a specimen jar.
Yeah, but
and we'll just reuse the
that's
same.
True. But like the biggest knee into the groin of sanity in this episode is the fact that the facehuggers are still facehuggers when they wake up.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't. They should actually look like something completely different. Like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, they wake up and there are Zygons there.
Mm.
Maybe Zygons isn't the best example, but Zygons, they put you in this weird stasis,
so
whatever.
If we continue the
It could be some other alien that has put them into a trance state.
But if we continue the alien theme with the Zygons,
so
those suckers in Alien are the children of aliens, right? They are.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the children of the queen alien.
Yeah.
But they're not the children of xenomorphs.
Okay, I can't quite remember, but in Aliens, do those things, do they grow into aliens?
They,
or are they completely separate beings from aliens?
They're completely separate. They latch onto a human being, lay an egg inside of you, then they die.
Yeah.
And that egg then grows into an alien.
Yeah, you're right. Because the alien bursts out of you.
Exactly.
Chest. Right, okay. Could it be a similar thing?
With
an existing, like, monster from Doctor Who?
It's possible.
That is how they breed?
It's totally possible. Either way, I reckon that at some point in the next season, very possibly, the Doctor's gonna go, or Clara's gonna go, man, I've got this weird pain in my temple.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait a minute, guys.
Yeah.
This is freaking freaking me out.
For 1 second of your entire life, whether you're dreaming or not.
Exactly.
Maybe that is the theme of the next season.
Yeah, very possibly.
It would, I hope so. I doubt it.
Yeah. I really want to have an explanation for why the facehuggers are facehuggers.
They often leave Christmas specials dangling. And actually, in this last season, they've left quite a lot dangling and not felt the need to explain.
Okay.
They're not going to tie this loose end up.
Very possibly.
Is what I reckon.
Yeah, maybe that's actually kind of... one of the shticks with Christmas specials, where it's like, oh, this is pure entertainment. We're not going to take it too seriously.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say,
okay,
in answer to the question, I don't think they are still in a dream. I think the tangerine is just like, oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And like a little bit of a schmaltzy, like little wink. Santa's in town.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's all it is.
That's... Okay, that is definitely the more likely alternative, but it does tick me off a little bit.
I do hope you're right.
Okay. Here's another question for you, and we both asked this question to each other whilst watching it.
Yes.
The facehugger pube crabs, when they dislodge, they die.
This makes no sense.
Makes no sense. So why, when the four whatevers are walking around, why do they try to dislodge themselves and then attack everyone,
so
like Clara and
Doctor? There are a few things that are wrong with that. So presumably these things need to eat brains to be alive. That's how they live.
Yeah, but they haven't eaten all of the brains.
Exactly.
There.
They've hardly eaten any of the facts.
Yeah.
Like, nobody has died from facehugger.
No.
Yeah, no.
neurological trauma.
But there are hours to go. Like, they have not even started the sucking process. Why would they... why would they leave a perfectly good host to jump up and go onto another host? And why is it that they, like, don't do it sometimes? So when the facehugger has Clara, for example, we both said this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got Clara.
Everyone is thinking about it.
Everyone's thinking about it. Everybody's hovering over it.
Yeah.
Why is it not trying to attack?
In fact, it could attack all of them one at a time. If you could make the argument that once you've been attacked by one of these, you're going to be under for a while, so it could basically just kind of domino across in a circle.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but it would just jump onto the doctor, for example.
They're all lying there on beds, and like the second you think about them, they stand up.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, as I said at the time, the Doctor Who writers could get out of all of this by saying, do you know what, it's a dream state.
Anything goes.
It's nightmares, anything goes. That's what Capaldi says.
Yeah.
It's a dream, it doesn't have proper logic, it jumps, it's a bit funny.
Sure.
But fuck that. I mean, seriously, fuck that. Like, you can't get out of everything. You can't, like, have no logic to these creatures just because of that. Because otherwise, it's like relativism. Like, nothing matters. Nothing exists in reality. So why try and think of the logic of anything? Fuck that. That's no way to live your life. It's no way to live your life.
It is no way to live your life.
You can never explain anything. In theory, yes, we know nothing about these facehuggers. Because the only time we see them in reality is when they're falling off at the end and like being destroyed. So we know nothing about
and
how
I still argue
function.
that may not even be reality.
But whatever. Like, we can't just say the rules don't apply because they're in dream states. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So what the fuck?
Okay, how about this? The doctor said, and this was actually proven in the episode, that when you wake up, or rather, sorry, the next step in your dream is what you expect. Right? Because they...
I don't remember him saying that.
Okay, so do you remember when... maybe he doesn't say it, maybe he just infers it. But either way, do you remember when they realized that when the facehugger pube crabs came down from the ceiling and attacked them?
Yeah.
And they think that's when the dream started because that's when Santa appeared and whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, so now let's all hold hands. Oh, I don't want to hold your hand, blah, blah. That little scene, right? But they go, so what's going to happen now? And he goes, the attack is still going on. They're going to dislodge those four on the bed. They're going to come after us, and we need to get out as quickly as possible, and there will be no Santa.
So, because they expect it to come,
that's what happened
them,
next.
That's why they do come after
right.
them.
So later on, when
but
they all wake up,
but surely before, when he's like hovering over Clara, they know that these facehuggers do this thing where they jump up off host beings and open up their mouths and try and attack you.
Yeah,
they're surely expecting it then too. So,
yes, to a degree, but for some reason, they've also introduced this thing of you can get out of the dream.
Yeah.
Right?
So, like, you can imagine Santa and he'll come and fly you away.
Essentially, yeah. But also, like, it's perfectly okay for me as the doctor to put myself in a crazy dangerous position of having one of these pube crabs on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's okay, because if I want to, I can very easily pop back out of it.
Yeah.
Which is what he does. The only challenge for him is... The challenge for him is not to save himself. The challenge for him is to convince Clara to want to get out of the dream.
Question.
Yeah.
How do you get out of the dream? What is it they're doing to get out of the dream?
They're because just realising that they're dreaming and they're trying to wake themselves up. Like, try to wake up from a dream.
But that's the point I'm about to make.
Okay.
Because they don't wake up when they realise that they're in a dream. Self-awareness of being in the dream isn't enough. They have to do something.
They have to want to wake up.
Yeah.
But, and that's where the Inception layers come in, because they think that that is the only dream, so they, when they wake themselves up, they only wake themselves up to the next, or the Inception level above that.
But in theory, why is it when the Doctor realizes he's in a dream, he doesn't immediately wake up? So when he's he's standing at the TARDIS and he goes four. There are eight.
We're still a lot. Yeah. We're still in the dream.
We're still in the dream. Why does he not just go and like he?
Okay, so
is
it's
awake.
Not just realization.
So not just realization. Yeah. That's not enough.
And here's an interesting thing as well. Why does he run back in? Because he's already demonstrated that he doesn't give a shit about the people in there. All he really needs to do is he's already there with Clara. All he needs to do is to tell Clara, listen, we're still dreaming. Snap out of it right now.
Yeah.
And then both of them wake up.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, again, incoherent.
Incoherent. Actually, you're right. I'm coming around to your way of thinking here. Okay, the point I was going to make with, like, oh, what you expect is what's going to happen, doesn't exactly follow through, right? Because...
Example.
Okay, I'll say something else. Something just a fundamental untruth about this.
Yeah.
They don't remember who they are exactly. They only roughly remember who they are.
Yeah.
Sort of remember what they do.
Perfume management.
Exactly. So how do you know what to expect? That's almost it. I don't even know. I don't know if I'm proving anything here. It may be that I'm saying the reality, quote unquote, possible dream that they then wake up in, as in like the crack den, for example.
Yeah.
Or the, oh fuck, I'm paralyzed.
Yeah.
That bit. Oh, it's so mean.
But you are reminding me of another thing that occurred to me during this episode.
Yeah.
So I think the writers are trying to imply to us that those people, so the woman that woke up in the wheelchair, cracky, the perfume sales girl, they're all actually waking up in reality. But Clara and the Doctor are still in a dream.
I think that is exactly what's happening.
Which implies that they are all at a different level of Inception.
Well, Clara and the Doctor are at the same level, but everyone else was at a different level.
Clara and the Doctor are at the same level of Inception.
You know what else makes
sense? And the others are at a different level of Inception.
Yeah, you're right.
Yet they are all sharing the same dream at the same level.
Does that mean that Cracky is actually also asleep because they are still in Cracky's sub-dream?
What, and that's why they're still seeing aliens.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly. They're still facehuggers.
They're actually stuck within Cracky's dream right now.
Yeah, Cracky is somewhere ODing on heroin. They are, this is like the worst person's dream to be in.
Yeah, this isn't, they're not even aliens. This is just a heroin come down. That's all this is.
That the Doctor and Clara are stuck
in. So powerful that it sucked in the Doctor and Clara.
Okay, I think I can actually prove I can prove this further.
Yeah.
When everyone else wakes up, they don't remember what they just dreamt.
Yeah.
But Clara and the Doctor both remember.
Yeah.
They both remember. The Doctor wakes up and the first thing he says is like, oh, fuck, Clara. And then he remembers to go there. She wakes up.
There must be something going on.
Yeah, and she wakes up and remembers that she was old.
Do you know what? I can accept that the Doctor can remember because he's not human and he is.
But Clara's just like cracky
and everyone
else.
She's just like everyone else.
Yeah, she's just
like wheelchair woman. Had no idea that she wasn't in a wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe for a split second.
Dude, she has a name. Okay. I don't remember.
Let's not refer to her by her disability.
No.
Scottish lady. Let's go with
Scottish.
Was
she Scottish? Oh, we had this conversation.
I think so.
Was she always Scottish? I just couldn't remember. No, wait. Sexy lady.
Sexy lady.
Sexy lady.
Let's call her sexy.
Yeah, so sexy lady didn't remember.
Yeah.
Although, actually, wait, I take it back, because for a moment there, she tried to stand up.
Did she?
Well, she tried to get up and it's like, oh yeah, I'm in a wheelchair. And then she rolled herself away.
Okay.
Like off screen.
Yeah, for like a split second.
So for a split second, she does remember, but she clearly doesn't remember everything that's happened. Like she looks at the ground and sees this weird pile of ash.
Yeah.
Doesn't react. She doesn't go like to her granddaughter, like, what the fuck is this?
I'm like,
you come to my place for Christmas and you've dumped this massive pile of ash on my floor. No presents for you.
And Cracky sees it. She's not even scared. She's just like
grossed out.
Yeah, exactly.
But she clearly doesn't remember anything because her first instinct is to go, yeah, I forgive Dave. I'll rent a DVD.
Exactly. Right? She thinks no more of it.
Yeah, but Clara remembers that she was old. In fact, she's panicking. Like, am I young? Am I young?
Although, so they are time travellers. Things are different for time travellers. This has been done before in previous episodes.
So just because why
is it Clara remembers...
Temporal energy, she's...
Yeah. Why is it Clara remembers things and no one else does? It's because she's a time traveller.
Okay.
Which is just like a shitty get-out clause, but maybe that's
it could be like a TARDIS by effect.
Yeah, like, okay. She's done so much time travelling that actually she can remember everything. She's in her own, like, temporal sphere.
Deus ex machina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Bullshit. So, let's get back to everybody's at a different layer of Inception.
Okay, I like this.
So,
go for it.
Well, I don't know what I'm going at, but...
what about the other people in the whatnot? So, one of the dudes... Oh, sorry, the dude, whatever his name is, the perv.
Oh, the rapey guy, yeah.
Yeah, the rapey dude. He dies in it.
Yeah.
So, he wakes up somewhere dead.
Well, he doesn't wake up. Presumably.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
He has his brain sucked out.
Oh, maybe that is what happened. Okay, so here's a question
for you. Well, we're never shown, like, anything after that.
Yeah, so what happens to the...
To rapey guy. He must
No, to the pube crab.
Presumably, it just lives. Like, and then
now attacks someone else.
Probably moves on to another host, even
That's
stronger.
My point. That is my point. There is a freaking invasion going on. In fact, okay, so the Santa says there's an invasion of the Earth, right?
Yeah.
He says this. This, I'm guessing, is the Doctor introducing that notion into Shauna's or Cracky's manifestation of hope, right? So Santa, okay, check this out. Santa is there as a manifestation of hope and, like, salvation that Cracky has brought into the dream, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Santa also brings the specimen jar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Doctor affecting Santa.
Yeah.
And Santa says stuff like, "Oh, bigger on the inside." Only Clara and the Doctor would know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's someone else introducing that. And Santa also says there's an invasion going on. There's an alien invasion of the Earth.
What, so you think the Doctor is projecting that?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon either the Doctor or Clara, presumably the Doctor, has subconsciously got Santa to say there is an invasion of the Earth happening right now. Mm. And very possibly the Doctor has now gone to some other planets where he's coincidentally attacked by a pube crab, right? So maybe he went there.
That's why he's there.
Yeah, so maybe,
because
exactly.
Because he's investigating pube crabs.
Exactly! Precisely what I was going to say. Maybe he's investigating this, he's figured it out. Fuck, man! Gotta get back to Clara, see if she's still an old bird. Boom.
Okay.
Right?
There is nothing to suggest that this is a mass invasion, though.
No, but it's clearly something that shouldn't be ignored.
Maybe it's just a natural occurrence of the universe, which is why the Doctor just wants to leave it alone. He's heard of them. He's not surprised by their existence.
Okay, but check this out.
He's perfectly happy for a few of them to be left in the North Pole.
Okay, but check this out.
Sucking on a few people's faces.
Okay, hot. And also, check this out. Remember the episode, what was it called? Day in School? Whatever it was called. When he...
Yeah, Wei becomes the janitor.
Exactly. Yeah. Fantastic episode.
Caretaker.
The Caretaker. That was the name of the episode. Yeah. He is hilarious in that. He is just amazeballs.
He is amazing in every single moment of actually everything I've ever seen him in.
Can we just take a break from the podcast to jerk each other off a little bit?
Oh my God. Okay, did you see all of The Thick of It? Like, all of it.
Oh yeah, I've seen The Thick of It.
You only started watching...
We're not talking about the dicks anymore.
You only started watching it after you found out Capaldi was... Because you're not English. You only found... like, when you found out Capaldi was going to be the Doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
You watched all of The Thick of It.
Yeah, I've seen it, I think, four times since then.
Yeah, like, I was watching it beforehand, and, like, I've always loved that guy.
He's amazing.
Like, he is fucking...
Yeah,
amazing.
He is fantastic. Okay, what was I going to say? So, all right, sorry. Back to the Caretaker.
Yeah.
He went there on his own to take care of one single renegade alien, like this soldier machine thing.
But I think it had the power to take over the entire Earth, didn't it? It was, like, causing a mass... I can't remember exactly what it was doing, but it was big. It was a large
scale problem.
Yeah,
it was like
it had
the power of nuclear bombs.
Yeah, like,
whatever.
It was a large scale problem that he had to deal with. He was, like, saving the Earth. These sucker things, they're only killing one by one, which he seems to be fine with.
Yeah, but we don't know how many there are, and someone has projected Santa to say there's an invasion of the Earth going on.
Yeah.
There could be millions of something that isn't a facehugger attacking the Earth right now.
Yeah, could be. Could be. I don't think they're going to go anywhere with it, though.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I think that was just for dramatic effect.
As Christmas specials go, how would you rate this?
I think, apart from the odd moment,
it
was less schmaltzy than most Christmas specials. I think it was actually...
There was the yippee-yay motherfucker moment at the end.
Yeah, but no, I thought that was really sweet.
Like, I think it was...
to seem like a, you know, little schoolboy he'd regressed.
Yeah.
Schoolboy state. It was quite nice.
That scene was both wonderful and a little bit too much. Like, a little bit over the top.
But, like, let's think of other Christmas specials.
What about the Titanic one with Kylie?
We have the Titanic with Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
That was pretty schmaltzy. Like,
it was very schmaltzy, but it was still good.
It was good. Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it, but it was, like, one of those with a message. It was, like, you know, what is the overriding theme of that
episode?
Wait,
hang on.
It's, like...
it was a companionless episode as well.
You can't choose which ones to save.
Yeah, like, basically.
Because that would make...
Now let's crash into the White House or whatever it was. But, okay, that was also a regular companionless episode. Because yeah. Kylie was like the de facto companion for that one episode.
Yeah, who had we just had? Catherine Tate.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Fuck off. I really liked her.
Yeah, you and JD.
Yeah, I think she really worked.
I did not like her as a companion.
As psychics go, I'd say she's one of the better ones of New Who.
Oh, man. I can actually see JD clapping his hands right now in agreement.
I thought she was actually really good.
Oh, I hated her.
Fucking hated. Because I haven't talked about New Who at all on this podcast.
Yeah.
I fucking hated Aggie Freeman. I thought she
was... Oh, me too.
Dread.
Yeah, like, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Awful actress. I'm a doctor. Fuck off.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't believe it for a moment.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
And then when she came back later and was all like military and strict, she was even worse. Like she was.
Yeah, because you know
she
what
was
it
just
was?
Like, I am not going to take you seriously. No.
Yeah, because like, it was not
a good enough actress for
because
me
it was
to
the
made
for TV military force that never works.
Yeah. It
never works.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was awful. No, Freeman was terrible.
Okay.
Didn't like
it. Compare Tate to Freeman, like,
oh god, it's like what do I want, gonorrhea or herpes? I'm not sure I
really don't know where you're coming from. I actually don't. I thought she was funny. I thought like it was light hearted and I thought her heart was in the right place. She was approaching time travel in the right way.
I don't know, bubonic plague or a dynamite, stick a dynamite in my nostril.
I think she made Tennant funnier, like I think
yeah
like,
by comparison because she wasn't funny at all.
The chemistry between them made him funnier.
I'll tell you what, dude, this isn't the Catherine Tate podcast.
No,
however, I will say I am perfectly open to the idea of changing my mind when Who Back When gets to her. Completely open to the idea.
Cool.
But I'm going to say
for another episode just to shoot you down.
Well, I'm hoping that you'll stop by sooner. But I will say my memory of Catherine Tate. Holy fuck! I want to get rid of that memory of Catherine Tate.
Dude, you are actually wrong.
Well, that's fine. I was actually wrong about Eccleston. I'm completely prepared to be actually wrong about Catherine Tate.
So,
anyway,
just quickly on Eccleston.
Yeah.
I really like Eccleston. He's the worst of the new Doctors, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely the worst. But you know what? We haven't had that many.
No, we haven't had that many.
All right, okay. Listen, dude, say what you want to say about Eccleston, then let's get back to the Christmas special.
I don't have that much to say. It was simply a case of, like, when we were recording early Who Back When.
Yeah. The golden years.
Like, yeah, the golden days. It was actually years ago.
It was.
But you were always really down on Eccleston.
Yeah.
I always said I really liked him.
Yeah.
And in fact, you actually said...
I think that's a quote. I think you've just quoted yourself. I think you said, you are actually wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were right.
Yeah, that's one of my stock phrases. No, all I wanted to say was that I wanted to add a caveat to that. Although I really like Eccleston, he is easily the weakest of New Who Doctors.
I completely agree with you.
That is nothing to do with Eccleston being bad. That is the other three being immense.
Yeah, and possibly also the writing.
Yeah, possibly the writing.
Maybe. Right.
I think, like, New Doctor was finding its stride at the time. It needed a proper actor to bring it back. I think Eccleston did that well. I think he segued old Who into New Who well.
Completely agree with that.
But he's still the weakest Doctor.
Absolutely.
Because, like, the writing hadn't found its stride. I guess that is part of the reason.
Fine. Sure. Yeah, okay. Fine. Anyway,
and
back
Eccleston
to Christmas.
Debate.
Dude, what did you think of Santa? Nick Frost.
So, like, as we discussed as we were watching the episode,
yeah.
I think that the reason Santa's a chaff... is that he's being brought in from Skaggy Girl's imagination. Like, that is the only way she can imagine people is
do you think
Skags
that she,
like herself.
Do you think she literally pictured Nick Frost?
maybe she did. Like, maybe she is a massive Simon Pegg fan. Like, maybe she just watched Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Maybe,
by the way,
maybe that was her Christmas Eve viewing schedule. Maybe she was just watching.
It's not on her list. She's having
that was Christmas Day. We didn't see Christmas Eve.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Schedule. Yeah.
Maybe she was watching Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, maybe.
The night before.
Go through the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we've now had, I think, three actors from space.
Sorry.
On Doctor Who, on New Who.
Yeah.
In fact, we've had two of them in Capaldi.
Mm.
Yeah. Because we had Simon Pegg with Eccleston, right?
Yeah.
And we had the guy who plays Tyres in Into the Dalek. And the bicycle messenger dude in Spaced. He played the really angry military dude in Into the Dalek. Anyway, and we've now had Nick Frost.
Yeah, and I didn't answer your question. I really like Santa.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was a really good Santa.
I thought he was great, and there were some moments where... you like Nick Frost, right?
So,
I fucking love Nick Frost.
Yeah, absolutely.
As in his collaborations with Simon Pegg, that's where I really know it.
But,
I
was really happy with the Santa we got, because I remember, in the previous episode, we were shown that it was going to be Santa.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried at the time.
Well, my boss... actually said to me at the time. Like, this is like, this is going to be a real pussy of a Christmas episode, is what I said.
Okay.
And, like, I could see that happening. It's going to be like a schmaltzy, like, fucking Santa.
How this Christmassy is this going
to
get?
Yeah, like, kinda. This is going to be a children's version of Doctor Who. It's going to be one of those saccharin-covered, like...
Holy shitballs, I've got a question.
It wasn't at all. Like, I actually thought he was pretty funny.
Okay.
That's because it was Nick Frost.
Yeah. Okay, wait, hang on. Remind me after I've made the following point that I've got a question for you that pertains directly to Santa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What, like, do I still believe?
Is he real? No, I'm joking. No, okay. No, I
Dude, of course he is.
Yeah, obviously. All right, so I was going to say, I love Nick Frost. I think he's a super hilarious actor. But I say that based on what I've seen him in with Simon Pegg, and I love Simon Pegg, and I love what they've collaborated on.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments in this Christmas special, and I pointed them out on a couple of occasions while we were watching it. There are moments where, holy Jesus balls, is he Nick Frosty?
Yeah.
Like, he is super Nick Frosty.
Yeah.
The little hand gestures, like the little jazz hands that he does now and then. It just screams Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved every bit of it. And he was great. And I'm so pleased that he's now part of the Hooniverse. Yeah, I used that word. I just used that word.
Really? Has that come up before? Who knows? Yeah.
I think that might be a first for me.
It's my invention.
Well, it's not my invention.
Okay.
Yeah, people use it.
Yeah,
might be the first time I've used it.
Good word.
Thanks.
But I think he is that way because Skaggy Girl is dreaming it. And, like, there's that moment where she wants to squeeze his face. Like, she gets angry with
him. Yeah, I will mark you, Santa.
My Little Pony. I will mark you, Santa. Yeah. Like, she's clearly hot.
My Little Pony, clearly some sort of street lingo for heroin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, smack the pony, is that...
Smack the pony?
Yeah.
Dude, what you do in your spare time is none of my business. Okay.
Whatever. I thought Santa as a device was really good.
I thought so as well, and I thought the execution was great. What did you think of the elves? One of them being played by Strax's, whatever that
actor's
name. And
the other one from The Misfits.
Yeah, exactly.
They were like comic relief.
I thought they were fun.
I didn't realise
it was... It's actually basic physics.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
I didn't realise it was Strax until you told me it was. And...
I didn't realise that the other guy was from Misfits.
Unimportant, basically.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they were unimportant.
But very funny.
Yeah.
Love the bits where Nick Frost, as Santa, goes bleep bloop and turns off the car alarm in Rudolph.
It is pretty sexy.
That was pretty funny. Okay, hang on, wait. So here was the question I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
When the Doctor arrives, in the very beginning, when he arrives on the rooftop,
okay,
and he goes, Clara, get in the TARDIS right now.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's wearing an awesome hoodie.
Yeah, yeah, very cool outfit. Clearly, okay, fine. So you could say
he looks like a Market Street trader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
That's cool.
Like a very well dressed one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sexy one.
Sexy.
Like as discussed. Like for an older man.
Yeah, we agreed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We both would. Okay.
It's the hair and the piercing eyes. Question.
Question is, when he gets Clara to get into the TARDIS, he walks up to Santa and goes, "I know what you're about. I know what you're here to do." And he basically he infers that Santa is some very malicious force that he is rescuing Clara from. In fact, he immediately says, like, don't look at him, don't talk to him, get into the TARDIS, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, and actually, it was a little bit confusing early on because it seemed as though Santa and the Doctor knew each other.
Yeah.
It was like
he's another Time Lord.
Yeah, it was like they'd met before.
Yeah.
And they'd done battle before.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, does it kind of make sense, though? I mean, Santa knows who the Doctor is because Santa is an invention. The Doctor is just basically quite skeptical of everything, as we saw in the Robin Hood episode.
Yeah, does not believe.
When he saw Robin Hood, he was just like, you are not real, and actually I think that you're not doing very much good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he is just basically skeptical of everyone, and like when he meets new people, he immediately assumes the worst about.
I think there's more to that, though.
Okay,
he arrives there with a very clear purpose, and that is to save Clara.
Yeah.
And you can argue that the dream, he says later on as well, like, in dreams, stuff doesn't necessarily always make sense. This is why this, like, oh, it's a long story fits in, right?
Yeah.
But when he arrives, he clearly wants to save Clara from Santa, and he walks up to Santa and he goes, I know what you're about. I think he says something to that effect, like, I know why you're here, I know who you are,
but that's,
I know the game you're playing.
That's just like a very Glaswegian stock phrase. Like, point somebody in the face.
I know what you're about.
I know what you're about, mate. I'm not having fucking any of it. Love it.
Good voice work.
Thanks.
What does Santa do in that scenario? Because he almost plays back.
In fact, does Santa know that he's a construct at that point?
No.
Does Santa work out that he's a construct?
I don't think he does.
Throughout the episode. No, at some point he does know that he's a construct.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he explains it to everyone.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually Santa that explains it.
I think that he has worked it out when worked it out.
Who are you going to call thing?
I think he officially works it out when they work it out, or when one of them works it out.
He seems
possibly
to be
the Doctor.
Okay.
Santa, the Doctor works it out, and then Santa goes, yeah, obviously I'm made up.
Yeah, but Santa seems to be all-knowing. It's not as if Santa comes to a realization at any point. Santa seems to always know who he is and what he is.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree, because if that were the case, then Santa would have gone...
There is no moment where Santa has, like, a light bulb moment, is there? He doesn't ever have a light bulb moment.
No, but
when the Doctor says it, Santa, as you said, is like, of course, yes, that's exactly who I am.
Yeah, do you not...
You're defining me.
However, I disagree with you, because if he were all-knowing and he's there to help, then he wouldn't have played along with them. He would immediately have gone, those four people are you four people. You now need to wake up. This is what we're doing.
Right.
Right? And he doesn't. He turns up with an army of toys and two elves, and then continues, like, he's on the phone talking to the other sled, going like, yes, I've turned on the Aurora Borealis. Like,
yeah.
He is Santa. And then when the Doctor goes, yeah, but who rescued us? Obviously we're in a dream, because who rescued us? Then he turns up and goes, yeah, blah, 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 made up dude in a red suit.
Right.
Right? So I reckon he's just a manifestation of their dream. We've already agreed on that before.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is why is there that little point of antagonism in the beginning when the Doctor materializes and he faces off with Santa on the rooftop?
Because I think that's just how the Doctor is. I think he's just quite aggressive and skeptical.
Okay,
and I think he'd have done the same whoever it was, whether it had been Santa, whether it's Robin Hood, whether it's, like, anybody he believes to not be real or helpful. He is immediately aggressive. That's how he's been.
Like, okay.
Since the start, he's been immediately aggressive.
Yeah, sure. Do you think that Crack, then, is aware of what's happening on Clara's exorbitant rooftop? Like, subconsciously,
it's an interesting question,
channeling it.
Because we're coming back to the layers of Inception point,
yeah,
aren't we?
Because they are clearly suffering her subconscious.
Yeah, but if they are at a higher level of Inception, or rather a lower, they're at, like, the third level of Inception, everyone else is at the second level of Inception.
Yeah.
It's not possible, is it, that Crack Girl is affecting their Inception, because their level of Inception is higher.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do see.
So, I do see.
They're on the same level. They're on the same level. They're just
on
a different part of that dream.
No, they're not on the same level.
They are on the same level because they don't wake up in the North Pole. They don't fall asleep and then appear in the North Pole. They just get in the TARDIS and then get out of the TARDIS in the North Pole.
Yeah.
They travel there in the TARDIS. They don't, like, sleep or wake up there. If that makes sense.
But they're already...
And Santa just flies there on his reindeer. He doesn't, quote-unquote, go through layers.
Okay.
I think Santa only exists on one layer. No, wait, that's wrong.
No, that's
Santa exists
wrong.
On... Yeah, you're right.
Santa exists on many levels.
He exists on every level except Clara's dream.
No, I'm trying to think back. But they're at a higher level of Inception because Clara is already asleep. Like, she's already fallen asleep once before she gets to that bedroom where Santa is outside.
Yeah, but when she wakes up in that bedroom by the fact that Santa's outside, there's not a facehugger next to her.
No, there's not, because she has already been facehugged at one level up.
Yeah, exactly, but that's what I'm saying. I think that they've all been...
Skaggy, presumably, has only been facehugged at that point once.
Yeah, they've
Clara,
all actually been
Clara,
facehugged once, even
no,
though
no,
I'm
Clara,
still arguing that they're
Clara's
not facehugged.
Been facehugged twice.
Wait,
how? At that point, which is proven at the end. So they're all riding along in Santa's sleigh.
Yeah.
All the others wake up, go into reality. Clara wakes up from Santa's sleigh. She is still in a dream, isn't she? She is still in a dream. Because she's an old woman now.
Yes.
She is still being, she is still being face hugged. So everybody else has woken up because they're at
holy
that
fuck.
Level
no,
of
okay.
conception.
All right.
Clara.
However,
wakes up in a dream.
Yes, but wait. I think that's
so does the Doctor too.
Fuck. Okay, hang on.
Yes.
Yes. Wait. I think I think this is a plot hole. I don't think this is a light bulb moment for us. I think this is a plot hole that we have stumbled upon.
No, I think...
They both wake up, yeah. Right? But they're both... Yeah, they're both still dreaming. They are on the same level. They both wake up from the sleds in a weird volcano planet slash bedroom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Only one of them has a facehugger, which is weird. No, wait, fuck it. They both have a facehugger. He goes to Clara, takes off her facehugger. They're still dreaming.
Yeah, and everyone else who was on the sleigh is awake. Because they were at a different level of inception. It's not a plot hole. They're just at different levels of inception.
Oh, shit, you're right. No, wait, sorry. I forgot that she has a facehugger as an old lady. Okay, you're right. You are right.
Yes, I am right.
What the hell, man? This is a plot hole, though.
I don't think it is a plot hole.
How can it not be a plot hole?
Because this is clearly still part of Crackden's dream. No, it's not part of Crackden's dream. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's quite hard to marry the whole thing up. Because how could it be part of Crackden's dream when they're at a higher level of inception?
Okay.
Clara is already dreaming.
So the only way... All right, yeah.
Within a dream.
I'm sorry, I take it all back. You are totally right. The only way that works, though.
Doctor, somehow, when he comes in the TARDIS, transports them into Crackor's dream.
I think everyone who is part of the pube crowd...
Sorry, we keep saying Crackor's dream. I'd just like to add some more supporting evidence that it is Crackor's dream, because I don't think we've mentioned it. We mentioned it outside
podcast. I think the sheer fact that they are pube crabs is proof enough.
Well, no, I think... Well, okay, but we did point it out as we were watching it. So, when they're reading the book,
yeah,
and they're each reading a word out from the book when they do the last one, page 12. Yeah. Everybody said, the other three say very, very, very. And the third lady who says it, she's absolutely convinced it's all the same.
Yeah, she totally goes like, what are you talking about?
We are in reality. The only one who seems to be aware that they are not in reality is Cracky.
Yeah, but that's one layer up. Or possibly two layers up. If we're still talking about
She's the one who says dead, basically.
Yeah, but that's
because
a different...
She seems to be the only one who knows that they are dead.
Yeah, but Gringo, that's a totally different level than when Doc wakes up in Volcano Land.
Yes, it is a different level.
Okay, what I was going to say was, everyone...
But they're all on a different level.
Not necessarily.
All the supporting cast are on a different level to Doctor and Clara.
Yes, exactly.
They are always.
Yeah, yeah.
Always, at all times, yes, they are on a different level.
Yeah, but my argument would be that those four are on the same level. Doc and Clara are on a different level.
Yes, that's not an argument. I think that's just fact.
Okay, fine.
The Doc and Clara
But the point being, it's not six different levels. Either way... Here's the theory. Everyone who is in some way affected by the pube crabs, they are connected. They're part of a network.
Mm-hmm.
Clara and the Doctor, they're connected by the sheer fact that they care about each other, and the Doctor's, like, first instinct, if he's part of this network, maybe he somehow can sense that Clara is also connected, and that's why he goes straight to her and wants to save her.
We don't know anything about these pube crabs.
Yeah, except for the fact that they clearly cannot be pube crabs.
But they might... they could be anything. They actually could be anything.
It's coincidence.
They could be pube crabs. Like, that could be any.
But they are facehuggers from Alien.
Yes. Okay.
Which is a dream construct.
Unless we are reading far too much into it.
We're
taking that list as Bible. But, okay, let's take it as Bible.
All right. For argument's
sake.
We subtract, post-sled, we've subtracted the inception layer of cracky, sexy, and pervy, and perfume.
Well, pervy's dead.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And perfume. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, those three, they're now out of it. They have been released from the network as far as we've been told by the show.
Yeah. The show makes it appear as though they are awake.
Yeah, even though they awaken and there's dust and shit on the floor, so possibly not. Doesn't matter. Whatever. They are out of the equation. No one gives a fuck. Doc and Clara are still
dreaming.
Yeah, they're still hooked up, and their layer is now completely separated from Crackden.
Yeah.
And sexy and perfume.
Yes. And yet... There are still facehuggers,
yes.
And there is still Santa there to wake them up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, fine. So,
but are they only thinking that because it's been implied from previous dreams, so they've got it in their head as that's the way this works?
So there's
Santa, there are facehuggers. They've accepted that as reality from their previous versions of Inception. They've carried it over.
I don't think so. Here's why not. When Santa turns up and he goes, "How much do you wish that, wakey wakey?" They are both mega, super duper, uber surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both surprised. They do not expect this.
No.
Right? So, is this residual Crackden, or is Crackden actually also still part of this? Kraken has woken up with a facehugger next to her in the same way that Doc and Clara... Well, the same way that Doc woke up with a
facehugger. They could all still be asleep.
Yeah,
which means,
and possibly
which
only
means,
Doc and Clara are now awake.
In fact,
possibly.
Which would mean that those three are all dead.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to realise they're in a dream.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're just lost.
Yeah, or
which
all
the
of them are.
Doctor doesn't give a shit about.
No, but also possibly they're actually all still dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, as in Doc and Clara may also still be dreaming.
Yeah, they could be. But it seems to us... as per the discussion we've been having, that the Doctor and Clara were at one level higher in Inception.
Yes, but...
It looks that way.
Yeah.
It may be the
I don't think so now.
That they are all at the same level of Inception.
That's
and
what
the
I'm
other
now thinking.
Three are simply dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm now thinking. Well, either dead or, like, essentially doomed.
Which is a pretty grim end to the episode.
Yeah, yeah, have a like, Merry Christmas, guys.
And makes the Doctor look like a total dick. Because he doesn't want to help. Like,
he is
he
a massive twat, but that is okay.
No, yeah, I like that. But you'd think that would at least occur to the Doctor.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you think he goes to himself, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but he also did say, like, these crabs, they sort of coddle you. They make you think that everything is fine and
but
that you're happy and
why
whatever.
Why would the Doctor think that? Because the Doctor...
This is like a super happy ending.
The Doctor never actually came to the conclusion that we have come to, which is that it's Kraken's dream.
Yeah, because possibly...
And you would have to come to that conclusion to realise that everybody else was... actually still asleep.
Yeah, but possibly this is the pube crab getting them to feel safe. Like, the pube crab tells them, you've now woken up, in the exact same way that the pube crab told them or convinced them that they had woken up
the
when Santa
time.
Arrived. As in, like, sorry, well, yeah, when they...
On that occasion.
Yeah, when they didn't want to hold hands and whatever.
Yeah.
The pube crab made them think that, okay, we've now woken up, it's safe.
Yeah.
Right? Possibly the same things happen now. They, in fact, that's it. Henceforth, everything that happens in Doctor Who is actually just a dream.
Yeah. Which is great, because that means the writers can just do whatever they like with gay abandon, because it doesn't matter, it's a dream, there's no logic.
I'm not sure I'm happy
that
with that.
Would be awful.
That would
be
awful.
Like American sitcom.
It would be
awful.
Dallas.
Yeah, that would be Dallas, Days of Our Lives.
It would be good. I would very much like to see the whole what is real, what is not real thing continued. I think that's a great concept.
Well,
but I want it to end sometime.
It was the biggest blockbuster of 2012.
Yeah, Inception. But I wanted to end sometime in the next series.
Mm, I still think what I thought originally.
Yeah, it's just Christmas.
They haven't.
Don't worry
about it. They haven't fully thought this through. And actually, this does happen quite a lot in
New
Doctor. Is that they don't think it 100% through.
Very true.
Because they're not writing this shit for nerds like us. Doctor Who is not like... It's such a big show. It's not completely a cult show. It's a mainstream show. Like this
with
is
cults, with cult
with cult followers, with cult background, with cult followers. But
it also
it
appeals
is,
to a larger, broader public.
It's there to be consumed by a huge audience.
Yeah,
and I think for that reason, like if it works just as a driving narrative, that's enough for them.
Yeah,
yeah,
very
so
true.
People have complained about this season being a little bit like the writing's quite weak.
Oh wow. I agree with that.
I disagree. I've really enjoyed the writing, but...
There have been a few things that were a bit naff, but most of it, overall, great.
I wouldn't say so much naff. It's just...
Oh, dude,
it's
the
just,
golden arrow.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's just when you really break them down, they don't make that much sense.
Some of them.
You can still enjoy the ride. There are, like... And there are many examples of this in movies, like, where something just doesn't make any sense.
Dude,
you don't need to think about it.
You know what? Inception.
Yeah. Like, when you really think Inception through, it doesn't make that much
sense.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not get into it. But, I saw a documentary the other day on Back to the Future, and I'd never thought about it this way. Back to the Future doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh, really?
Well,
obviously.
Like, yeah, but I, do you know what? I'd never really thought about it, because it just, like, the narrative device works so well. But, like, people slowly disappearing from a picture because, like, time is being altered, that wouldn't fucking happen. That doesn't make any sense.
Obviously not.
But as you're watching it, you're fine with it, because, like, the narrative's so strong, and that's what's happening in, like, current Who.
Sure, fine. That applies to all of sci-fi.
Yeah. No, not all of sci-fi.
Well, certainly any sci-fi with time travel.
Some sci-fi does make sense, like, on its own level.
Yeah.
It's at least consistent and coherent.
Yeah, dude, we said this. In fact, I gave you
it's not
Alien as an example,
yeah,
and you were like,
it's not a question of making sense, but it is a question of coherence.
Sure. No, okay, fine. And also, the simplicity of the plot will render it more understandable and just logical. Does not course, matter. Dude, we have now been recording for an hour and 25. I don't know what the final edit's going to be, well, ladies and gentlemen.
And it is now 2 a.m. and I am literally 100 miles from home.
Yeah. The flap hammer has joined me here in Oxford and he needs to head back to London.
100 miles.
Okay. Anyway. Let's round this episode off.
Okay.
What? You know what? Rate this episode. What did you think?
Am I rating this as a Christmas episode or am I rating this as just any Doctor Who episode from, like, the New Who era?
I like that question. That's a good question. Do both of them.
Because
you have to rate it within the... Okay, ordinarily, I would say rate this as a Christmas special because it's... you know what? No. Here's what I want you to do, okay? Check this out. I want you to rate this as a Doctor Who episode,
yeah,
but within the context of Christmas. And then I want you to compare it to other Christmas episodes. Is it better than X or worse than Y?
Right. Let's first then just have a little discussion because I'm trying to remember more Christmas episodes. So we have the Titanic one with Kylie.
We have the tree one with Smith. We have the...
What happened in the tree one?
Lots of living trees. There's like a wooden king, whatever. It's kind of bullshit. It's the forest of something.
Okay.
That might be on the X scale.
What else have
There's the Matt Smith goes and see... Is it Matt? Yeah, it's Matt Smith. He goes and sees some chick who's only awake one night.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw that episode the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of bullshit.
There's...
It was quite good. Michael Gambon was in that one.
There's the Tennant's first episode, Christmas Invasion.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I really liked Christmas Invasion.
Yeah, we recently reviewed it on Who Back When.
Christmas Invasion was a good episode, actually. Okay.
I think this is infinitely better than Christmas Invasion.
Okay, I am going to give this a 3.9. Because I hugely enjoyed it. And do you know what? We have had, like, a massive long discussion about it, which was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And intellectually challenging as well.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm not sure I'm satisfied by that, which is why I'm not marking it higher, but I really enjoyed the ride. Like, this was actually the best moment of my Christmas day. Well, obviously it was the best moment of my Christmas day. But, like, it really picked me up. So, for that reason, I freaking loved it. 3.9. Boom.
There you go. All right. I could echo everything you've just said. And I think the main thrust of my appreciation for this particular special is that I can't remember a single Christmas special that we've had so far that's made for such good conversational material.
Absolutely.
I think so far everything's just been like, this is a Christmas romp. It's a feel good episode.
Yeah.
It has no profundity.
And it's all wrapped up in a neat little bow.
Exactly.
This could actually lead into stuff. And in fact, we didn't mention at the end of the episode, they tell us the Doctor and Clara will be returned.
Yeah.
So they've
Oh my god, we didn't say that.
They've actually given us a little nod to the rest of the series. There might be something coming out of this episode as well.
Yeah, and by the way, next episode, The Magician's Apprentice, and the Doctor was referred to as a magician in this episode.
That has happened before. He actually referred to himself, so when he was talking about his new, like, dress that he was wearing, he was like, I was shooting at, like...
Something,
but I came out with magician.
Oh, there you go.
So he's already said it himself.
Interesting.
Like, he is dressed as a magician.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This could be companion material, maybe, that we come up with. Either way, it's going to be fantastic. And yes, you're right. We didn't say this at all. Clara's back. Yeah. I'm happy about that, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very pleased. I like Clara.
Minus Danny Pink, who I don't think either of us really respond to that well.
We're not huge fans.
I think hate would be too strong.
I don't hate Pink.
No, I don't hate him. But, like, I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, same here. Okay, dude, wait. Yeah. Hang on. Christmas special. So... all the other ones, they lack profundity, or most of them lack profundity, and this one made me think, it made us talk, it's a great episode. I like the funny movie references, I like the Inception layers, blah 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 blah, Nick Frost, great, Santa, much better than I expected, to be honest.
Yeah.
Much better.
It was going to be a pussy episode, but it was not.
It was not. Was not. In my opinion, this was a better Christmas special than every Christmas special thus far, with one exception. Namely, Time of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary. I have to give it that. Because it was the 50th anniversary.
It's not just a Christmas special, though.
It was a Christmas special, though.
Yeah,
it was a Christmas special with so much more.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I liked that more in a way. But also, I actually did. And it was such an emotional moment at the time and all that blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, whatever. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. Loved it. Shazam. I'm going to give this...
God. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I'm marking this down solely because there is potential for so much here not to make any sense whatsoever. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm giving this 4.3.
Wow, that's huge.
That's what she said.
That is a huge number.
Maybe we need to watch the next season before we can actually give this a mark.
Yeah, it's possible. Actually, you know what? Let's revisit this.
Do you know what?
If we find out that there is any kind of tie-in to the next series, let's revisit this.
Because this could, I mean, if it does tie in and it suddenly all makes sense, this could be like a 4.7.
Yeah.
Like, it has the potential.
Like, looking back on it.
Yeah, it has the potential for greats.
Yeah. I mean, oh, God.
It also has the potential to be a piece of shit.
I would disagree. It has the potential to... Okay, at the very least, this is much better than the Kylie episode. Like, this is better than Voyager the Damned. This is better than Runaway Bride. In my opinion, JD will probably disagree.
I liked Runaway Bride.
There you
also.
Go.
All
right.
But then again, I'm a Tate fan. What can I say?
Yeah, no one's perfect. The... Flappy.
Dude.
Mega pleased that you stopped by Oxford.
I'm super pleased that I'm back in the Who Back When team.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Come back whenever you like.
Oh,
do you want to hug it out on the air?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Come on.
Can you hear that, people? Can you hear that? Good times.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. How could you not have? Flappy, do you still not use Twitter?
No, not at all. But I'm still at One Too Many Mornings. So.
So follow him.
So follow me.
If you're not following me, then, say hello. Give me a high five. I'll high five you right back. I am at Ponkin. Here's a soundbite of JD singing how you spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
Thanks, JD. Spoiler alert, one more episode is dropping before New Year's, but I recorded that a while ago, and I'm going to go ahead and say this anyway. Happy freaking New Year's, everybody.
Yeah, I will not be speaking to you again before New Year's, so happy 2015.
Yeah, catch you in 2015. Rock on.
Catch you on the flap side.
Be rad and excellent to each other. Ciao. Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account. No lie. So give us a follow. You guessed it. That's @WhoBackWhen. All in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who Back When?